In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In doing our homilies on the spiritual life, we're now at this point where we're going to talk about the three stages of the interior life. I'm just going to give a very brief overview of them, even though each one in itself could constitute a whole series of lectures on them, but we want to just stick to a few things. There is a general path in the spiritual life, but it is unknown to most. But the saints have already drawn the map. In other words, they have already led us. This is how it all proceeds. This is how it's done. It is not possible to take another path. Every person must advance through these three stages of the interior life, unless you're the Blessed Virgin Mary or something of that sort. Everyone goes through these three stages. All saints, again, except for Our Lady, all people must go through this path, every one of them, either in this life or in the next. Either you're going to do it now or you're going to do it in purgatory. There's no way around it. Or you'll end up in hell, one of the two. But the point is you're going to have to go through this purification process, illuminative process, and unitive process. Every one of us has to go through it. Most people never advance because once they start staying out of sin, they don't know where to go. And that's one of the big problems. And even among traditionalists, they just think that the penultimate is stop sinning. The saints say, that's just the beginning. It's not the end. There are three stages, the purgative, the illuminative, and the unitive. So we want to take a quick look at these. The first is the purgative stage, and it's broken into two parts. The first is the active, and the other is the passive. As to the active purgation, it principally deals with the lower faculties. In other words, there has to be a purification process of our defects. We talked about our predominant defect and coming to a knowledge of that. The active purification, or the active purgation, is actually what we can do to purify our faculties, that is, our imagination and things of this sort, of defects. So there's the purification of the external senses. And this, the purpose of the act of purification of external senses is to restrain their excesses and to subject them to the rule of reason illumined by faith. In other words, people have to start, that's why people have to fast, that's why people have to curb the tongue, things of this sort, because we get a certain pleasure out of them, and these things have to be restrained. As St. Paul says, I bring my body into subjection. These, because of the nature of them, because they can give us pleasure and things of that sort, they can lead to excess. All sensible things can be used towards God, and so we can take legitimate pleasure in them, but even this should be directed towards God, because these are not the reason for which we live. Then there's what they call the purification of the internal senses. Now, the internal senses are our memory, our imagination, a faculty called the cognitive power, which I'm not going to go into, but these are the things that in us have certain, they're things which we think by and that type of thing. The purification of the imagination is through custody of the mind. You have to get it under control. And we're not talking about just matters of purity. We're talking about anything that can lead you to sin. You've got to keep it out of your mind. Prudent selection of reading material and viewing matter, or even the cessation of TV, is to be advised if a person is really going to advance in this, except for those things which are necessary for our state. What does this mean? Well, again, the people who say that the TV is intrinsically evil are simply bad philosophers. But the fact of the matter is that it does render our imagination, if we watch too much of it, in the habit of being under the direction of an external thing, which means when it comes time to be directed by our will, which is internal, it's not going to be in the habit of it, and it's going to be very flighty and very difficult to get under control. This is why I often tell people, if you just cut TV out altogether, you'll notice a drastic change in your prayer life and a change because your interior life will be a little bit more calm. Not that it's bad, not that it can't be made legitimate use even by saints who have reached perfection, but it's just one of those things that if you're going to get a handle on these interior faculties, that's one of the things that is recommended. Then there's purification of the memory. This essentially consists in forgetting about our past sins and begging for the grace of forgetfulness. Now, the grace of forgetfulness does two things. The first is that it helps a person simply to stop recalling the sinful things that they've done in the past, or the injuries they've suffered, or things of that sort. The second thing is, though, is it renders this grace, renders us acutely aware of our ability to fall into the sins that we have committed. And so the person will be very careful and cautious in relationship to the matter that he's not recalling. We also have to cease thinking about our past injuries. If we're going to forgive people and move on, if we're going to be able to advance spiritually, all these things have to be let loose of. But it also, we have to purify the memory, we have to get into the habit of remembering the good things and the benefits that God has given us. Then there is the purification of the passions. This is working on our particular defects that might be rooted in any vice in our appetites. Again, as I mentioned, this is why we have to attain the opposite virtue, because through virtue, our emotions and our passions begin to come under rational control. Then there is also a necessary mortification. We have to develop the spirit of mortification as well as the virtue of mortification. And this is basically that if there's some thing that we're having a difficulty with, we have to pursue the object which is the opposite of it. So what's this mean? It means if we're in the habit of pursuing pleasure, which is, means it's part of intemperance, we have to be in the habit of subjecting ourselves to pain in order to gain, so to speak. We can't allow our emotions to determine the course of our actions. We have to stop following our emotions, period. We have to follow reason alone, as illumined by faith. Then we have to undergo the purification of the intellect. Now, there's two parts to our intellect. The first part is the brain. That includes the memory, the imagination, and that part. But then there's a spiritual part, which has the capacity to understand things that are universal, has a capacity to grasp things like truth and things like that. That part of us, that spiritual part, also needs to go through a purification. Because why? People are in the habit of thinking the wrong things. And so those things have to be purified from us. Now, the control of the passions and the imaginations will start getting that part under control. What's one of the worst habits that this spiritual part of our intellect is under? Following our emotions. In other words, we tend to think the way our passions lead us. That has to stop. It has to stop. If people are going to advance in the spiritual life, they have to quit following the emotions. Why? Because the emotions are under the control of demons, and they're also under the control of the flesh, which is subject to the defects of original sin, which means they're going to be drug all over, even in their thinking. We have to curb curiosity. Remember, curiosity is the vice in which we pursue knowledge that doesn't suit our circumstances or state in life. We have to overcome ignorance of our faith. The saints actually refer to faith as the first purification of the intellect. Why? Because it's the thing that gives us a clue about the reality of what reality really is, who God is, creation, and things of this sort. We should be studying sacred truths and performing acts of faith. Then there has to be the purification of the will. And basically what this means is that we have to seek to become detached from the love of any created thing for its own sake. In other words, natural love has to cede to charity so that we love people, love things. We only consider these things in light of God alone. Now, we have to do all of that on our own. Now, if it gives you an idea of where you're at, because a lot of people haven't even begun to purify any of their faculties, really. So that's what we're supposed to do on our own, but then guess what? Because our sin and our defects and our disorders and these faculties are so incredibly deep as a result of sin, we have to undergo a purification which we are not capable of doing on our own, and that's called a passive purification. We cannot root them out on our own. God has to, even though we do everything we can to get to a certain stage, God has to reach into the soul and start digging these things out of us. And that purification is often even more intense, and it's much more painful. This is includes the dark night of the senses, which is a prolonged series of profound and persistent aridities, that is dryness in the spiritual life, that submerges the soul in a very painful state. In other words, it's a painful painful process, because through that pain, their soul is purified and severely tested in its perseverance, and because God wants to see if the soul really wants to be holy, if the soul really wants Him above all things. It is so difficult, in fact, that many souls draw back from it. And here we're just talking about at the level of the senses. We're not even talking yet about the next stage, which also includes that's the external senses, but then there's also one of the internal senses, that interiorly God has to purify even our emotions, our appetites, our memory and imagination through profound interior suffering. This stage is necessary. In other words, okay, we do everything we can to quieten everything down, and then God has to reach into the soul and start digging these things out, which means it's painful. And as St. John of the Cross says, the pain isn't because of God, the pain is because we are messed up. And so as God starts straightening us out, it's contrary to our disposition, which causes pain. And so, but this is a necessary stage so that all the interior faculties can quiet down. As St. John of the Cross says, his house became all quiet, which meant all the lower faculties became perfectly subordinated to reason, which at that stage, which incidentally, if you want to tie it to the levels of prayer, that's called the prayer of simplicity, where all the faculties come under the direction of reason and none of the faculties move. There's no antecedent emotion. That is, there's no emotions contrary to your will. There's no emotions contrary to what you know is right. They never act until reason. When people do things, there's absolutely no reaction until reason says to move. That's the stage that you will reach once you start going through this passive purification. But it's a necessary thing. Why? Because God's a jealous God. When He's going to bring you into mystical contemplation, into an intimate dwelling with Him, He's not going to share you with anything or anybody, period. And that's why these things have to be. Because why? If you're distracted and drawn to other things, then He doesn't want you around Him. He wants you alone with Him, intimately and in a way that excludes everything else and the love of everything else except for the love of Him. This stage is marked by a lack of delight, both in created things and even the things of God. There is no sensible or spiritual consolations. This is one of the reasons why the charismatic renewal is a serious problem. And most Catholics have this same problem, judging their spiritual life on their consolations. If you're going to do that, you will never, ever reach perfection. It's necessary to advance this lack of spiritual consolations. Otherwise, what happens is this consolations become the focus of the individual and it hinders their advance to God. Then, so the person goes to the dark night of the senses. Then they have to go through the dark night of the soul. This is a series of passive purgations that are extremely painful and have for their object the complete completion of the purification that was begun but not completed by the dark night of the senses. By means of terrifying trials of this second night, the defects of the soul are uprooted at their very source. They must be more intense since they accomplish what the purification of the senses could not. But then there is a higher degree of contemplative light in this stage. In other words, it's usually a bit of overlap in this stage with the illuminative stage, which we'll talk about. But basically, there's a certain contemplation. The person's reached mystical contemplation. They're undergoing certain things, and that contemplation itself is a torment to the soul. The excess of this light torments and blinds the soul at the same time that it manifests to the soul its smallest and most insignificant imperfections, in contrast between God as ineffable and our imperfections. In other words, what becomes clear, not just at this stage, but even in an earlier stage to the soul, is a deepening understanding of their absolute unworthiness of God, except by virtue of the grace which He gratuitously gives them. The illuminative, okay, so that's just the passive purgation. That's just the purification process that everybody has to go through. Either you go through it here or you go through it in purgatory. The next stage is the illuminative stage, which consists in a period of communication of knowledge of God and divine things beyond revelation and the soul's ability to grasp it on its own. In other words, It's knowledge that God communicates directly to the soul, which the person cannot attain otherwise. It is a process of perfecting the intellect to a degree beyond what nature is capable of. The unitive stage, which is the last stage, consists in fixing and resting the will entirely on God alone. These last two stages are primarily accomplished in the latter five stages of prayer. Most people never even begin the act of purgation, and rarely does a soul reach passive purgation. As one ascends the heights of perfection, fewer and fewer people get higher for two reasons. One, not many people are willing to do what is necessary to achieve the heights of perfection. The fact is that most people choose, either implicitly or explicitly, not to be a saint. And that's a serious thing for reflection regarding your conscience. Some people don't think to themselves, okay, I'm not going to be a saint. But 99.9% of people think to themselves, I'm going to choose this course of action, which contains in itself that you will not be a saint. The next is a lack of knowledge. Most people simply do not know the way or the means, and they often become contented in just staying out of mortal sin. Don't let this happen to you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.